Continue our Advent sermon series on the Christ birthday observance themes. And peace is the fourth theme of this series. Jesus is the peace we need after all. And so peace comes after we talked about the first themes of hope and love, last week joy, and today peace. So, on this overall theme of Christmas together, we have an idea that calls us together, asking us not to be separated by all the things that the world thinks are so important. Every one of the themes we've talked about, hope, love, joy, and today peace, is important to us in this topsy-turvy world in which we live, where life and society and power brokers and financial realities hit us so often. In Kentucky and other states with towns and cities devastated by tornadoes this season, we need hope, love, joy, and peace. In places where there have been shootings at schools, we need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. For Pastor Francis, who developed a blood clot and is spending the weekend resting in hospital. For Pastor Jesus Mena of our Santa Ana Church, who's having a tough recovery from COVID-19, and for Pastor Tim Poldrugo and his wife, both of whom are in hospital on oxygen because of COVID-19 disease. We need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. Pastor Poldrugo, pastor of Patty from the Ontario Church and retired from the Oceanside Church just this last year or two ago. For my brother whose wife had a heart attack and is still in a rehab facility, we need these things, especially during the 2 weeks when both of his elderly pet dogs have died. The cat is looking at him suspiciously. We need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. For retailers facing an unprecedented run of brazen smash-and-grab robberies, we need these things. For my school friend who's dealing with some bleeding in her brainstem and may or may not have treatment available, we need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. For homes that are ripped up because of violence and broken relationships and challenges between family members, we need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. And for, as I mentioned, this other friend who has been less than 3 weeks suffered the death of her dad because of COVID-19, that he contracted because of contact with her unvaccinated sister, then the death of that same sister from COVID-19 last week, then the death of her aunt a few days ago, and who yesterday got the most terrible call a mother and father can get, that their 26-year-old daughter died at home, leaving behind a 3-year-old boy. We need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. For communities that are torn by economic, cultural, racial, and political differences, we need God's hope, love, joy, and peace. Your own stories are also filled with the same need for God's hope, love, joy, and peace. Now, the good news is God knows what we need. And God has provided those things in our lives as good news in the midst of the world's bad news. God has provided those things to us in Jesus Christ. He loves us so much, he sent his one and only son to bring hope to the hopeless, love to the lonely and isolated, joy to the broken and brokenhearted, and peace to our souls and to our world. Even when everything is crashing down around us, we can still hang on to the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born to Mary, as Joseph stood as an adoptive dad more than 20 centuries ago. This is the gift of God that the angels spoke of to the shepherds around Bethlehem, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." There will be many presents given this holiday season, but there is none greater than that gift, none greater than that, none equal to that we receive through the birth of Jesus. So So we praise God for the gift of his Son, whom we celebrate as Jesus, our Prince of Peace. We praise him because Jesus brought the peace we need in himself and gives it continually to us. There's many reasons we need the Prince of Peace. We need Jesus, our Prince of Peace, because we need atonement for our sins. Because without that atonement, without that reconciling to God, from whom we're separated because of sin, we will never have a real peace in our own souls. And when we don't have a peace settled in our own souls, we are ill-equipped to try to settle that in the situations in which we live. Jesus didn't come to us just to a wealthy and white America. America wasn't even a reality 1,750 years ago when Jesus was born. A Palestinian Jew born in an occupied Israel into the family of a laborer around brown-skinned people, not white-skinned people. This is the Jesus that we celebrate on Christmas. Jesus, our Christ, the anointed Son of God, who first opened his eyes into the basement or rooftop of a house with no room inside. Jesus, our Christ, whom we celebrate. So we call it Christmas, and that word means celebration of Christ. That's what Christmas means. Mass being the Catholic term from Latin to say celebration. So Sunday by Sunday there is Mass, a celebration. And on this special time of remembrance there is Christ's Mass, Christmas, the celebration of Christ. It is the celebration of Jesus. It doesn't mean Santa's Day. It doesn't mean St. Nick's Day. It doesn't mean family gift-giving day. Christmas means a celebration of Christ. Our waiting lines shouldn't be for a photo op with an imposter in a red suit and a white beard. We should all be lining up instead in awe of the grace of God as we gaze upon the face of the one and only Son of God, in whom we find our peace in the midst of all the storms of our lives. And that's because worshiping Jesus and receiving his peace is what empowers us for life and living. We can't make this peace for ourselves just because it seems like a good idea. As humans, we're not very good at making peace. We're much better at making separations, which is a sad commentary on the nature of our connection to sin in our lives and our giving in to the one who wants to separate us even from God as well as from one another. This kind of peace that we need is simply not attainable without Jesus Christ. We can't make it by ourselves. We can't make it up. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful." Don't be troubled or afraid. The word peace is not an adjective that describes a noun. It is the noun itself. In fact, it's not just the noun peace, my peace I leave with you, this thing, this reality. But not only that, it is a person, a proper noun. It is Jesus, our Prince of Peace, Jesus, our peace. And when we have Jesus, we have peace, different than what we can get anywhere else. An old meme, before we even had the word meme in our vocabulary, goes like this. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. You got that one? No Jesus, you'll know peace. No Jesus, there's no peace. Jesus planned for us to have this peace in a troubled and fearful world. Jesus doesn't leave us just a description of peace. He leaves us peace itself. Peace that's the guardian of our souls. Peace that's the advocate for our person. Peace that becomes our champion and our defender in the relationships we have between people, between God, between this world and what God wants. But there's only one way that that's going to happen. As if you will listen to Jesus and understand that he says to us, worship me, focus on me, and that's where you will have peace. The angels began the celebration of Jesus as our peace with the shepherds in the field surrounding Bethlehem. We know these parts of the stories fairly well. Oh, by the way, not all churchgoers really know the Bible stories of the first Christmas. In fact, a study I read just this last month said that only 27% of people who attend church regularly, more than once a month, do not feel confident to give the biblical story of the birth of Christ. That is a sad commentary. But we can find here in the second chapter of Luke and in the first and second chapter of Matthew those stories of what God was at work doing for us. With the shepherds around Bethlehem, the angels said, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angels were announcing that there is a new relationship that God wants to have with us because of the gift of his Son. When we have a relationship with the Son of God, we have a relationship with the God of the universe. We enter into awesome infinity of an unsearchable reality when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, who is our life, sends us Jesus, who is our light, and the Holy Spirit, who is our insight into the reality of such a great God. A God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, the Holy Trinity of who he is. And remember, the angel said that this news is for all people. The announcement set the stage for what God was about to do. His message and his gift was to the world, not to a people group. When life is crushing in on you, he is your peace. When circumstances are beyond your control, he is your peace. When difficult choices must be made, he is your peace. When the world around us is in an uproar and many voices are competing to be heard, he is our peace. For we were created to live in peace and in unity and in community. We were created to live in peace and in unity and in community. So we must make every effort to live in peace, every effort to do that with a holiness of heart that we seek to be more like that one whom Jesus sent. See, Jesus didn't send his own son to be sacrificed for the payment of our sins so that we might just go on being sinners. He sent his son so that we might become his saints, to be holy in our lives. Our efforts should be finding ways to live in harmony. Economics, politics, race, doctrine, personal preferences are always around to divide us. But we have to live on a higher level than the baseness of division. As Christ followers, we belong to him, and we are followers up of the seed of Abraham all together. Galatians 3:28 reminds us that there is no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, churches should not be divided. There should not be division down the center aisle in a church. There should not be division in the hearts of people who are in separate churches. There should be unity through Jesus Christ with all who seek to love Him, live with His forgiveness, and live for Christ. We can't live separated from each other. For everyone, it's important in kingdom work. We read in Ephesians 2:14 that He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. This wall of hostility that would threaten to take control of us, this wall of hostility that would threaten to keep us separated. The hostility is something that simply happens as we choose sides and we choose our favorite places, our favorite peoples, our favorite styles, our favorite voices, all of these things. But you see, Jesus is one Son of God, the one and only Son of God given to us, given for us, the one and only Son of God who shed blood joins us together, the nail-pierced hands and feet for every one of us, not some of us. Now, it doesn't mean that living in peace is easy. I suspect you've found that out. I certainly have. But it's because something I discovered in an issue in my own life is that if we focus on the issues, we will find division. But if we focus on relationship, we will find peace. You got that? If we focus on the issues, we'll end up in division. If we focus on relationship, we'll find peace. It's achievable. Peace is achievable when we focus more on the things that connect us and less on those things that separate us. It's the common ground of heart-to-heart connection. Jacob's son Joseph could have chosen to be unforgiving to his brothers for the many wrongs they did to him as he was sitting in that place of importance in Egypt. But when he had the opportunity, he chose peace. He chose love. He chose relationship. He chose those things that connected them. He refused to allow the works of the evil one to win. He chose the good that God had in store for him and his family. It's only one Old Testament example of how peace works when we focus on relationship and not the issues. We have to choose a life that brings glory and honor to God. Your choices, my choices, must be those that say without words spoken what we read in Psalm 133:1, how delightfully good when brothers live together in harmony. We need to be those Christ followers who choose to share the gift of hope, of love, of joy, and of peace that Jesus has given to everyone. And that's because Christ followers, you and me, must be peacemakers. Not just peace enjoyers, but peacemakers. Not just people who celebrate the peace we walk into, but people who find ways to make peace where there is none, in a world where breaking peace is way more common than making peace. The first step we need is to live in peace. This means that on our own, we don't do any breaking of the peace. It means we settle peacefully through the love of Christ, settle in peacefully through the love of Christ. Instead of trying to find the ways to make a division between us. And more than that, each of us is called to a ministry of reconciliation, which means We offer ourselves to others in whatever way we can be used by God to mend the brokenness between people. Are you a relationship healer? Is God using you to help mend the brokenness between people? To live an intentional life as a reconciler is not an easy choice. There's going to be lots of struggles and tests and challenges along the way. There's going to threaten to erase all the work that we do. We have to look beyond the surface. We have to see the heart and the humanity of others, because if we do not see others as people for whom Christ died, we won't see them as worthy of our time, let alone worthy of God's time. But it is the one hanging on the cross who looked at our sorry state and said, "Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing." We're called to take part in the work of reconciliation in our human relationships and in offering the reconciliation of Christ to others. This Christmas, how many ways can we find to share God's love with those who don't know Him? How many ways can we find to share the birth of Jesus with those who don't know who He is? Are we willing to go out of our way to allow Christ to bring us together this Christmas? That is the call that we have. We have to see beyond the stereotypes, beyond the barriers, help destroy the things that society, doctrinal differences, whatever it might be, have made important. These barriers have often become more important than the message of our Savior. Sometimes we have to eliminate the faulty parts of our own personalities first, and that's typically the problem, is what's going on in us. And that's the reason why our relationships and our connections and the things that happen in the world happen. We have to deal with that. God has given us the ability to live in peace and perform also the required surgery on our own hearts. We have to be willing to give up the them and the they description of others and live more in the us and the we. Yes. We are each other's keepers. Don't take the lie of Cain, who says, "What, am I my brother's keeper?" You see whose mouth that came out of in the early chapters of Genesis? And we've hung on to it as if that were coming from the right side of things. But the truth is, we are each other's keepers. We are responsible for the health and well-being of our neighbors, those we have opportunity to connect with. Barriers are real. Setbacks and interruptions are all a part of life, but none of those should impede the work of the cross. As Christ followers, we must be peacemakers. Matthew 5:9, the Beatitude says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." It doesn't say the peace livers. It doesn't say the peaceful. It says the peacemakers. That's what came out of the mouth of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in the midst of those statements of blessedness. There are times in life when things will divide us. We can't overlook that. We have to recognize those things happen within us. They happen around us. They happen because they're impressed in upon us. We're always apt to make an opinion, to make a choice between people, and to build up those we like and to tear down those we don't. There are times when we ourselves are hurt and abused and misused and persecuted and misaligned and abandoned, even, just to name a few. Jesus encountered the same struggles. His life wasn't exempt from hardship, yet He modeled for us how to overcome. Yeah, Scripture tells us to turn the other cheek, but forgiveness must always be present, that we would move forward. See, Jesus could have held a grudge when Peter denied him. Make it real personal, because sometimes our divisions come on really personal levels. Jesus could have denied him. We read in Scripture, he knew it would happen, and he even cautioned Peter to look out for what was about to occur. He could have easily said, I'm warning you, Peter, be who you say you are to me and the cause. But Jesus took a different position, one that would leave the relationship whole and result in a teachable moment for Peter. Peter was in the inner circle. He was a trusted friend while Jesus was on earth, yet within Peter was a weakness that Peter couldn't see. He thought he was strong, a vulnerability that led to a disloyalty at a crucial moment. When dealing with each other, we have to always remember to leave room for the relationship to be remade, to be made whole in spite of failures of humankind. Here's what Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22, 31 to 32. Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Peter was the one who asked Jesus how often he should forgive a wrong from another. And you remember the answer that he gave? Not 7 times. Not 70 times. 70 times 7, which mostly means don't count. Just keep it up. And unlike that rather grouchy woman who worked at the cubicle, who kept a little tally tag, you know, and, you know, somebody walked by and asked her what was all about that about. She said, well, you know, Jesus told me I'm supposed to forgive 70 times 7. And you know what? I'm almost there. Whoa. That is not how it happens. We need to remember that what we need to do is be ready to forgive every single time. The love of God is so broad that he's given us his word to follow. And he sent his son as a living example of how we should not only seek peace, but also offer peace to others. And that means that forgiveness itself is a path to peace. Now, some of you in homes and families that have been less than calm and quiet over these years have opportunity to let that soak in a bit and find ways to practice it even during this season. Because forgiveness is a path to peace. It's exactly what Peter needed. He needed forgiveness to have peace within. He needed forgiveness to be at peace with his Lord. He needed forgiveness to be used by God to be a pillar of the church. But also, we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness from God for those things we have allowed to separate and divide us. We need forgiveness from God so that we might be able to live as a people called together in Christ. We have to live beyond ourselves and beyond a short Christmas holiday season and think through to the futures that are in front of us. We must always have open hands and hearts that allow others to come back to themselves, allow others to seek peace, to redeem themselves, to receive forgiveness before they even ask. And that's going to free us so that we might live lives unencumbered by the tragedy of grudges, by the tragedy of bitterness, by the tragedies of unforgiveness, by the tragedies that we've allowed because we've allowed a single or sometimes repeated event to keep peace away from us. Some of us have been harboring hurt feelings and disappointment long enough. But Philippians 4:7, Paul writes to us these words. He, in a benediction, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We can restate it like this: because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. This peace will control the way you think and the way you feel. Others might never understand how you're able to walk away from the hard places in relationship and still be whole. But it's because of the peace of God. Because He offers us peace. Because we first have peace from Him, we can recognize that we can let go of those things that we've been harboring or holding. Sometimes we hold on to what separates us, because after all, this is my hurt. I suffered it. It still hurts, and you can't have it. I'm hanging on to it. You got that? Have you discovered maybe that's happened in your home, heart, and life once in a while? You can't hang on to that hurt as if it's a precious thing. Instead, you have to get rid of that because it's poisoning your own soul. Peace of Christ can control the way you think and feel. You see, it's God that makes us whole. It's we who are made whole by God, by forgiveness of our sins, who begin to understand relationship with God again and discover the relationship we need, because the peace of God in us to offer peace to others. We can let go of those things. Let go of those things that would keep us apart and seek the peace of God. We've had these four themes. The themes of hope and of love and of joy and of peace. Those things that we light candles to remind us of. Those things that we need every day. For if we don't live in the hope of what God has for us, we will get stuck in the despair of these broken lives and broken relationships and this broken world. We look to God that we might have hope. If we do not recognize the love that God has for us, then we are going to be stingy with our own love. A love that seeks the best for the one for whom we offer love. If we do not allow ourselves to re-experience joy in the midst of despair and sadness and loneliness and brokenness, we will never be able to offer joy as a new way of looking at God's gifts of life. And if we will not allow ourselves to fully experience the peace of God in our own hearts, we will be rather stingy with offering peace to others. Remember, the path to peace is forgiveness. That we might be healers and peacemakers in this world who needs Christ's people to be peacemakers so badly. May God empower you this season. All because of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, how marvelous is your gift. How amazing is your love. How perfect is your plan for us. Lord, we pray that we might be your people in this world so broken down by all those things that would separate and divide us and keep us broken people. Lord, help us even now to seek your forgiveness that we might know your peace in our souls. Help us even now, Lord, to seek the forgiveness of those we've wronged, that we might find peace with them. Help us, Lord, to offer forgiveness to those who have wronged us before they even ask, so that we might know peace in our relationships. And Lord, one by one, and two by two, and four by four, and eight by eight, let us march as an army of peace into a world that only knows brokenness and hurt and warfare. That you would be glorified. As we give you thanks and we give you praise. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. Amen. I want to remind you of our Christ's birthday offering as we come to this close of our Advent season. This is the day that congregations around the country